chapter 10 is where we're going to be focusing our study this morning. As you remember, last week we began a series of messages dealing with the invitations that we find in the Bible, and we made the statement that the Bible is a book that is full of invitations. And all through the pages of this great book, God is continually inviting people to join Him in where He is going and to join Him in what it is that He is doing. And so some great invitations that we find here. And of course, last time we began by noticing God's invitation to Noah. And of course, the invitation was simply that Noah would come into the ark. And we learned how that very beautifully pictures the same invitation that God has given to all men to come into the ark of salvation. And the invitation is simply to come in. Well, now we come to the second invitation that I want us to notice. It's found here in Numbers chapter 10. And it's an invitation to companionship. An invitation to companionship. Now, in our text today, we're going to find that Moses, the leader of the nation of Israel, is talking to a man by the name of Hobab. And there's a lot of dispute about who this man Hobab really is. There's a lot of discussion about it. Some think that he is actually Moses' brother-in-law. There are some who think that Hobab is simply another name for Moses' father-in-law, who is also referred to as Jethro. Now, we know that Jethro, who was the priest of Midian, according to Exodus chapter 18, verse 1, came to visit Moses and the children of Israel while they were encamped at the base of Mount Sinai. And when Jethro came to visit and to see what all was going on there, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 18 and verse 6 that Jethro said unto Moses, "I, thy father-in-law Jethro, am come unto thee." So there we see Jethro, that's Moses' what? That's his father-in-law, right? It says so right there, right? And so that's his father-in-law. But then we read about this fellow named Hobab in Judges chapter 4 and verse number 11. In Judges 4:11, we find it says, "Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses." Now, I want you to understand this morning that there are absolutely no contradictions in the Word of God. Amen. We start with that premise, see? We start with the premise that there are no contradictions in the Word of God. So the logical, the simple, the reasonable explanation of this might be, as one commentator has noted, that Hobab was the personal name for Moses' father-in-law. Jethro was the official name for Moses' father-in-law. And so I am inclined to agree with those who hold to the opinion that Hobab and Jethro are actually the same person. Now, you don't have to believe that if you don't want to. You have the free, it's free country. You can be wrong if you want. It's okay. But that's the position. That's the position that I've taken for myself. And it certainly, it makes it very reasonable, a very logical position to take. But be that as it may, as we come to the text, we find that the nation of Israel now, they're in the process of breaking their camp. In other words, they have been camped at the base of Mount Sinai about a year now. It's been about a year since the Exodus. They came across the Sinai Peninsula, across through the Gulf of Aqaba. God opened the way. They went through like a highway, through the middle of the sea, came up into the land of Midian, which today would be known as Saudi Arabia. And there they came to Mount Sinai. And for 1 year now, they have been camped there around the base of Mount Sinai. It's in this place where they have received the law of God. It's here where they built the tabernacle of God. It's here where they learned how to worship their God. All of that took place during that year when they're camped at the base of Mount Sinai. But now they have camped in that place long enough, it's time to move forward. You know, there comes a time in the life of every individual, there comes a time in the life of every church when God says the same thing to us that He said to the nation of Israel. You've been here long enough. It's time to move forward. Now, it's easy to stay put because that doesn't require any faith. But when you begin to move forward, that's going to take a step of faith, isn't it? And so God comes to the nation of Israel, says it's time for you now to move forward. It's time for you to begin traveling toward the land that I promised to you, the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan. And so that is the setting, okay? That's the setting where we find that a great invitation was extended. Notice it in verse number 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Reguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. Now in this text that we've looked at here just now, I find three aspects of this invitation. There are three aspects of this invitation that I want us to notice together. In other words, Moses was inviting his father-in-law to join with the people of Israel in three areas. First of all, number one, to join with them in their pilgrimage. To join with them in their pilgrimage. Verse 29, Moses said unto Hobab, we are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us. Now as we consider this pilgrimage together, there are a couple of things, a couple of thoughts that I want us to notice together. First of all, we find that it is talking about, letter A special people. It's talking about a special people. When he used the words we, and he used the word us, those are plural words. In other words, Moses was inviting his father-in-law to join with a special people. And they were a special people because of two things. Deuteronomy chapter 7 verse 6 tells us they were special because God had chosen them. Out of all the nations of the world, God chose the nation of Israel to be His own peculiar people. And so they were a special people because God had chosen them. Not only had God chosen them when He chose Abraham and his seed, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, chose their seed to become a great nation. Not only had God chosen them, but Exodus chapter 15 and verse 13, God had redeemed them. You remember at the Passover, when they killed the sacrificial lamb, and they took the blood, and they put it on the doorpost of their house, and the death angel passed over, and they were saved from the judgment of God. They were a redeemed people. And so they were chosen, they were redeemed. But as believers in Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to understand that we are a special people. For the very same reason. We're a special people for the very same reason. We're special, first of all, because God has chosen us. You remember what Jesus said? In John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've chosen you. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul put it this way when he said, He, talking about God the Father, hath chosen us in Him. In other words, God the Father has chosen us in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. And so we are a special people, those who have been saved, because we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. We were chosen because God, in His foreknowledge, saw us in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice, not only are we special because He has chosen us, we're special because He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19, we were not redeemed with corruptible things. Weren't redeemed with corruptible things like silver, gold, and all of that. But notice what he said. Not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So we find, first of all, that there is a special people, chosen, redeemed by God. A special people that are being spoken of here. But not only was there a special people, there was also letter B. There was a special place. There was a special place. In other words, Moses invited his father-in-law to join them on their journey to the land that God had promised to them. In fact, back in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 8, the Lord God declared that Moses was going to bring these people. He's going to bring them up out of the land. That is, they're going to bring them up out of the land of Egypt. Going to bring them up out of the land of slavery. Bring them up out of the land of bondage. Going to bring them up out of the land and lead them to a good land. See? Unto a good land and a large, unto a land overflowing with milk and honey. In other words, a land that is filled with all kinds of blessing. And as Moses anticipated, the wonderful place that God had prepared for the children of Israel, Moses gave the invitation to his father-in-law, "Why don't you go with us? Why don't you go with us? Accompany us to this special place that God is preparing for us." By the way, as believers in Jesus Christ, we also are going to a special place. Did you know that? We're also going to a special place. It's a land of peace. It's a land of joy. It's a land of sinless perfection. It's a land where there's no more sorrow and no more suffering and no more death. It's a land of glory. It's a land of splendor. It's a land of blessing where none of the problems and none of the difficulties of this earth will ever be able to follow. It's a special place that God has prepared for us. Not only was there a special people, special place, notice a third thing, letter C. There was a special privilege. There was a special privilege. Now here's the privilege. You have to remember, Hobab was not a Jew. See, Hobab was not Jewish. And therefore, Hobab had absolutely no right to any of the promises that God had given to the children of Israel. He had no right to those promises. And yet Moses had the privilege of inviting Hobab to join up with Israel and to share in those blessings. In other words, Moses had the privilege to say, "Come with us. And what the Lord God has provided for us will be for you too. It'll be for you too." Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, you know, we have that same privilege, don't we? We have the same privilege of saying to our family, and we have the same privilege of saying to our friends who are not a part of the family of God. They've never been saved. They're not a part of God's family. Yet we have the privilege to say to them that through faith in Jesus Christ, they can come with us. See? They can come with us. You see, this thing of salvation, it's something that we are to be sharing with others. And while I'm on the subject, let me just say that inviting people to come with us is more than a privilege. It is an obligation. It is an obligation. The Great Commission declares that it is our responsibility to be faithful, declaring the message of the gospel to every person that we come in contact with. We're commanded to be inviting people, "Come with us. Come with us to the place that God has prepared." And so Moses invited his father-in-law to share with the people of Israel in their pilgrimage. But he also invited his father-in-law to share in a second thing, and that is this. Their partnership. Their partnership. Now we know, according to Genesis chapter 25, verse 1 and verse number 2, we know that the Midianites, if you trace their lineage, it actually goes back to Abraham. You remember after Sarah died, Abraham married a woman by the name of Keturah. And through Keturah, he had some other sons. And one of those children born to Abraham through Keturah was a fellow by the name of Midian. And he became the father of the Midianites. And so therefore, as a priest of Midian, according to Exodus 3:1, as the priest of Midian, it is almost certain that Jethro, or Hobab, that Moses' father-in-law, knew about the Lord God of Israel. He had heard about it from his ancestors, all the way going back to Abraham. He had heard about the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, the Midianites, here's the key, even though the Midianites knew about the God of Israel, they did not know Him. You see, there's a lot of people in the world that know about Jesus Christ, but they don't know Him as their Savior. They know about Him historically, but they do not know Him in a personal relationship, you see. And that's exactly where the Midianites were. They knew about the Lord God, and yet they did not know Him. They did not know Him. However, because of what he had seen, because of what Jethro, the priest of Midian, had seen, notice what the Bible tells us. Back in the book of Exodus, chapter 18, beginning in verse number 9, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." Now notice it. This is Jethro speaking. Here's what he says. "Now I know." Well, that's an important phrase right there, isn't it? "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. For in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, He was above them." In other words, Jethro has now been brought face to face with the realization that the God of Israel, the God of Moses, is the true and the living God. Greater by far than all the gods of Egypt, who had just been defeated in those 10 plagues that had been brought against the land. And so here Jethro declares his faith now. "Now I know." And he is declaring his faith in the Lord God of Israel. And because of that newfound faith that Jethro now has in the Lord God of Israel, Moses then turns to his father-in-law and said, "Well, come thou with us. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good." Now, as you go through and you look at the context, you'll find two things that Moses talked about. First of all, Moses declared that Israel needed Hobab. Israel needed Hobab. In other words, Moses understood that the Lord God would be able to use Hobab, according to verse number 31, to be a help and to be a guide as Israel traveled through this wilderness area headed toward the land of Canaan. Moses also spoke of the fact that not only did Israel need Hobab, but Hobab needed Israel. It's a joint thing. They need each other. And Hobab needed Israel. And we're going to say more about that in just a minute. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Here's the thing I want you to see pictured in this text that we're talking about this morning. When it comes to inviting people to join with us, When it comes to inviting people to join our church, we do not invite unsaved people to join. We only invite those who have already expressed faith in our God. Faith in Jesus Christ. See? Those are the ones that we invite to join with us. It would be foolish to invite unsaved people to join our church for two reasons. First of all, it wouldn't do them any good. Because people can go to hell from the membership roll of a Baptist church just as easy as they can go to hell from anywhere else. Just because your name is on the membership roll of a Baptist church does not guarantee you a place in heaven, you see. So we do not invite unsaved people to join our church because it's not going to do them any good. And we don't invite unsaved people to join our church because it's going to do us a world of hurt if we bring them into our midst. It's going to do us no good at all. No good at all. And so therefore, we need to meet those who are truly saved. And when we meet those who are truly saved and yet have not joined themselves with a local church where that they can serve the Lord God effectively, then we ought to prayerfully consider inviting them, join with us. Come along with us as we serve and as we work together for the Lord. Now, I'm not on a membership drive, okay? Just want you to know. I'm not pushing for new members. And there's a reason why. See, you can push for new members so hard that you get a lot of new members. And I've learned something through the years. It's easier to get people in than it is to get them out. All right? It's easier to get them in than it is. And sometimes you, in pressing to get new members in, sometimes you get the wrong people in. And so that's why we try to be very careful. And we try to be very selective about who we invite to join with us. But the church, people need to understand that the church is a very important thing. And one of the reasons why we ought to be inviting people to join into our fellowship is because the church is able to offer to people something the world can never offer. For example, we're able to offer to people a fellowship with someone who feels for them. In other words, we're able to invite them to join with people who have empathy. And they feel their joys and they feel their sorrows. Paul talked about it in Romans 12:15, talking about weeping with those who weep and rejoicing with those who rejoice. Where do you find that best illustrated? In a church. In a church. Not only that, it's in the church and in the fellowship with God's people where that people are able to find someone who really cares for them. In other words, they are with people who will help them to bear their burdens both physically and spiritually. As Paul said in Galatians 6:2, bearing one another's burdens. It is in a church where that people are able to find someone who will love them unconditionally. In other words, they're with people who have learned the wonderful truth that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 13 and verse number 34 when He commanded that as believers in Christ, we are to love one another as Christ loves us unconditionally. Unconditionally. But the sad fact is that far too many churches are in the business of hurting people. And they do it by their words. They do it by their deeds. Far too many times churches are involved in hurting and undermining and destroying people when the fact is we ought to be in the business of helping people. Helping people. When we do, they will come and they will stay because they find here something they may not find anywhere else. Bottom line I'm talking to HBC right now. If you're visiting, you're off the hook. If you're a member, I'm talking to you. Can we say the same thing Moses said to his father-in-law? I mean, can we honestly say, look at it, verse 32, can we honestly say, if you go with us, if you join with us, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. Can we honestly say that? Or do we have to say, come join with us and you'll regret it the rest of your life? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. Now, I'll be honest with you. I personally believe this is the best church in Singapore. And if I didn't believe that, I'd find out what the best church was and I'd go join that church. So I could mess it up. No, I would want to go where the best church was. Wouldn't you? Well, sure. Sure. However, I must also confess I believe we quite haven't reached the point of perfection yet, have we? And as a church, there's some areas we need to be working on. There's some things we need to be doing, things we need to be praying about. And it's not praying, oh God, call out somebody to do this. If God laid it on your heart, that's because He wants you to do it. Don't be trying to pass the buck that God has given to you, okay? And so there's areas we need to be working on and things we need to be doing that we might be the kind of church that ministers good to people instead of doing hurt to them. That's what we need to pray for. That's what we need to strive for. So Moses invited his father-in-law to share in their pilgrimage. He invited his father-in-law to share in their partnership. But then I want you to notice a third thing. He also invited his father-in-law to share in their promises. To share in their promises. Verse 29, come thou with us, for the Lord hath spoken good. In other words, God has given some wonderful promises to us. Some good promises. He's spoken good concerning Israel. In other words, Moses declared to Hobab that the Lord God had great things in store for the nation of Israel. The Lord God had declared that Israel would experience His direction as He would lead them along the way to the place where that He wanted them to be. Israel would enjoy His provisions. There was the manna that would come down from heaven, the water that would come from a rock, clothes that would never wear out, shoes that would last for the whole journey, all the provision of God. God said, I'm going to provide for you as you go. And then God also promised that Israel would enter into His victories, that God would give them the victory. And then Moses said in verse 32, and it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto you. Now certainly the Lord has promised some great things for His church. He's promised great things for us as a church of Jesus Christ. Let me just mention them very quickly. He has promised, letter A, His direction. There is the promise of God's direction. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 37 in verse number 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But where does that direction, where does that ordering come from? Where does it come from? Well, notice the answer is found in the prayer that the psalmist prayed in Psalm 119, verse 133. He said, order, which simply means direct. But he said, order my steps. And here's how God does it. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is simply this. when we are faithfully studying the Word of God, and when we're faithfully walking in obedience to the Word of God, then we have the wonderful promise of God's direction for our church, not only our church, for our individual lives. And then we can say, with those who join us, the same thing that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, when he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." See, I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again, because it bears repeating. As the pastor, you ought to follow. You ought to follow my leadership as long as I'm following Christ. See, that's what the verse is saying. As long as I'm following the Word of God and I'm following the Lord Jesus, then you ought to follow me. Now, there comes a time when I turn away from the Word of God and I begin to go in a different direction, then not only should you not follow me, you need to fire me immediately. Okay? You need to do that. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. But here's the thing. If we ever begin to promote our own thinking, and we ever begin to promote our own wisdom, and we ever begin to promote our own ideas above the Word of God, whether it's our church or our individual lives, we're going to find ourselves floundering around like a ship that has no rudder. God's direction. What a wonderful promise that is. What a wonderful promise that God has given, that He will direct us through His Word, you see. But not only do we find the promise of God's direction, letter B, we also find the promise of God's provision. In Psalm 34, verse 9 to verse number 10, "O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Those who put God first never lack. Never lack for any good thing. In fact, that's what Paul was writing to the church at Philippi when he gave them this wonderful truth, Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The wonderful promise of God's direction. The wonderful promise of God's provision. But then there's also the wonderful promise, letter C, of God's victory. The wonderful promise of God's victory. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 concerning His church. Here's what He said. He said, "Upon this rock." And by the way, He wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about Himself. He said, "Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The gates of hell shall not... You know what He's talking about there? He's talking about victory. He's talking about a victory that even the gates of hell cannot withstand. It's a victory that is absolutely complete. It is absolutely complete. When Hobab heard the invitation... interesting thing we find in the text. When Hobab heard the invitation, even though he had believed on the Lord God of Israel, he had already believed that the Lord God of Israel was the true, the living God, greater than all the other gods of the nations. And yet when Hobab heard the invitation to join with the people of God, you know what his first response was? No. Don't want. Don't want to join with you folks. Don't want to join with you. I believe in your God. I mean, I believe the same God you believe, and I've seen the miracles. But I don't want to join with you. Don't want to join with you. But as you read on down, and by the way, that's in verse 30 there in Numbers chapter 10. He said, no, I don't want to do that. But then Hobab changed his mind. Came a day when he changed his mind and changed his heart, and he determined that he would join himself with the people of God, and he would go along for the journey until God brought them to their ultimate end. Now here's the application I want to close with this morning. If you're not saved, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this morning, then the invitation that I want to give to you is simply this. Why don't you come go with us to heaven? Why don't you come go with us to heaven? But you need to understand that the only way you can go is through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In another place, he declared that he is the door. And only through the door can we enter in to God's salvation. And so why don't, if you've never trusted Christ, the invitation is simply this. Why don't you come go with us? We're going to heaven. And we'd like to invite you to come along through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you are saved, if you are saved, but you're not settled, you're not serving in a church where the Word of God is upheld, and where the Word of God is preached, and where the Word of God is obeyed. If you're saved, you've trusted Christ, but you've never joined yourself with a people who are determined to follow the Word of God and to make the Word of God the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, then the invitation would simply be, why don't you come join with us? And let's serve together in this place until the day our Savior comes, calls us home to be with Him. It's a wonderful thing. Wonderful thing. Going in the direction God is going, doing the things that God has commanded with a group of like-minded people. Come join with us. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word.